Welcome to the first Evolution Media Studio podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this discussion. We hope that you will follow us on www.cotr.com.
If you would, turn to Psalm 137, the 137th Psalm, and I want you to know that I am a scholar, and as a scholar, I normally use the most recent, most accurate translation of the scripture, but today I'm going to ask for a little bit of wiggle room, a little bit of privilege. And please allow me to use the King James today. Is that all right? Is that all right? Somebody out here still got the King James. Is that right? Amen. Amen. So I'm going to read the King James version of the 137th Psalm. Amen. I still hear a few pages turning. That's good to my ears because I still use the book. Every now and then I may use the phone, but for the most part, I use the book. Amen? All right. I'll be reading verses 1 to 4, and it reads as follows. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willow in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. They that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us the songs of Zion. Verse 4. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? This morning I want to talk from the thought, don't lose your song. And if the Spirit permits and is willing, at 11, I want to talk about singing your way out. But remember the if. Amen. Tell your neighbor, don't lose your song. Don't lose your song. When we find ourselves in a strange land, as the King James says, or in a foreign land, as the NIV or the New Revised Standard says, it's important that we know. Don't lose your song. Now, I say that because life has a way of putting each and every one of us at one time or another in a strange land. You see, your strange land could be, you could be a person that's always winning, always coming out on top of every circumstance or situation. I mean, if they had to give you a name, they would call you a natural born winner. But now you find yourself in a place where you encounter defeat after defeat. You are just in a state of permanent disappointment. And that's a strange land. Or your strange land could be a spiritual place where you just feel disconnected from God, feeling like not only has God not answered your prayers, but if you get honest for a minute, it's as if God doesn't even hear your prayers. And if the truth be told, it feels like God has abandoned you in your time of need. Or just maybe your strange land could be finding yourself separated from family and friends, thus represented in being in a strange land that's surrounded by the cold walls of isolation, and it makes you feel alone and vulnerable. Your strange land could be a place of financial distrust, unemployment, experiencing the loss of your home or foreclosure. I'm talking about being in a place with no money, no job, and soon no house. That's a strange place. Or you may have stated it this way. I never thought I would be here at this point in my life. I'm talking about a strange place. Or you get to the point where you don't know how you've arrived at this place, at this point in your life. But I want to tell you this morning, whatever you do, when you're in a strange land, don't lose your song. I'm reminded of the testimony of a saint. And the reason I put this in here is because a lot of times we have difficulty looking at ourselves. But it's easy to look at other people. I think the Bible says it this way. You talk about the speck in your brother's eye when you got a plank in your eye. So this morning, let me just share this testimony, because it blessed me while I was studying the 137th Psalm. The saint testifies, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. Not once, but twice. She goes on to say, I had to have a double mastectomy in a 12-month period. She says, I was in a place I didn't want to be. The saint continues her testimony by saying, this was entirely new to me. I felt fearful. I felt angry, and I felt alone. She said, my temple was destroyed, and I knew life would never be the same again. She said, so in this place of isolation and aloneness, I sat down, and there I weep. She said, I had to bring myself to be able to sing the Lord's song in a strange land. The saint's testimony teaches us that when we find ourselves in a strange land, that we don't lose our song. In our text this morning, the Israelites find themselves in a strange land. You see, they're in exile, they're in bondage, and they're in captivity to the Babylonians. This 137th Psalm is a psalm of lament, which simply means that it's an expression of their grief and their sorrow. See, we find them sitting by the river, and they're weeping because they remembered Zion. They're feeling miserable, and they're sitting by the river. They're watching the water flow downstream as if they're watching their dreams and their goals just go by, being in a state of hopelessness, and they're feeling all lost. The text says in verse 1, by the rivers of Babylon, we sat and we wept when we remembered Zion. Can I teach for a minute? Zion represents Jerusalem. You see, and Jerusalem was the holy city of God because the temple resides in Jerusalem. You see, the temple was the place where God dwelt. The temple was the place of worship and praise. The temple was the place of the sacrifice and the offering. Now that they're taken into captivity, in your scripture, you probably have a heading, the destruction of the Temple of Babylon. Do you have that? While they are in captivity, they now hear about the destruction of the temple. On top of the grief they were already experiencing. Let me see, it may be something like Harvey, Irma, Hurricane, then come Earthquake. That's where they were. So they had a problem with their theology. The problem with their theology was they thought that the only place God could be was at the temple in Jerusalem. They had a problem with their theology. You got to have sound theology. And the way you have sound theology is you got to open the book and read the book. You see, while they were remembering Zion, they forgot about Psalm 139. For verse 7 says, whether I go from your spirit, thou, whether I flee from your presence, if I ascend into the heavens, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thou shalt lead me. For there's no place we can go that God can't be. Our God is not limited by space or time. You may find yourself in a strange land, but our God, he's able. He's able. They remember Zion, but there, they ought to remember that God was there in Egypt to deliver them. God was there at the Red Sea to part the waters. God was there in the wilderness to guide them, lead them, feed them. Our God promised never to leave us or forsake us. Just ask Daniel in the lion's den. Just ask the three Hebrew boys. What I want you to think about today, what will you remember when you find yourself in a strange land? Will you remember how God is able? Our God is able. Our God is able. Let me keep it moving. Verse 2. We hung our harps upon the willow in the midst thereof. Now, many scholars, because I want you to know I studied, many scholars believe that this psalm was written by the Levites. And it was written by the Levites because of the person that is speaking. You see, the person that is speaking says, we hung our harps on the willows. You see, the harp was the musical instruments that were used in the temple service by the Levites. If I could make it present, they were the praise team in the church. That's the Levites. They had the harps, the music, they were the praise team. The willow is a kind of tree that grows by the willow, by the river. Now, some say that they hung their harp on the willow because they heard of the destruction of the temple. It automatically thought, we won't have any use for these no more. That's what some scholars said. Now, some say they hung them on the willow because they reached the point of no hope. Now, let me be honest with you. I don't know why they hung them on the willow. I'm telling you, I don't know. But let me tell you what I do know. Is that they took their instrument of praise and worship with them in a strange land. That's the text says. In a strange land, we had our instrument of praise, which tells us that whenever you find yourself in a strange land, bring your praise. All I'm trying to say this morning is don't lose your song. Verse 3 creates the situation for verse 4. In other words, verse 3 describes the event which brings about the question that you have in verse 4. See, in verse 3 it says, "For they that carried us away captive required of us a song." That's the situation. "They wasted us, required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of those old Baptist hymns. Sing us one of those great songs of Zion." So based on the situation in 3, it generates the question in 4. For the question in 4 is, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Here in a strange land, they're sitting in silence, no pleasure in their heart. Now the captives ask, in the New Revised Standard Version, demand, in the New International Version, and the King James says, require a song. Everybody puts different emphasis on how is asked, but the situation doesn't change. We're waiting for a song. The captives do not care about what's happening. Now here, if I could, they're the Levites. They're the singers. You with me? And if I could use my imagination, I would say they had some top 10 hits on the chart. The captain says, sing us one of those songs. Sing us one of those songs. So what the Israelites, their thought process was, these songs of Zion are only meant for worship of God, God's sacredness in the temple, and with these instruments, they're not for entertainment. Amen. For the captives. That was their thought. But can I suggest to you this morning that they were still learning how our God works? See, for Paul would later write in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for the good. Now, to be a scholar, I'm in the Old Testament, so I stay in the Old Testament. I'll go to Genesis 50:20, where Joseph said, "You meant it for bad, but God meant it for good." What am I trying to say? Is that when you are in a strange land, our God can take your experience. Our God can flip the script. What looks like a strange land, our God will allow you to sing, worship, and give him praise. They had a chance to worship God. The text is written to give us 3 things so that we don't lose our song in a strange land. And I'll get out your way. The first thing that the text is tailored to teach us is that this is what we call a communal song and not an individualistic song. What do I mean by that? An individualistic song is a psalm that has singular pronouns. Now, I don't know what grade you got in English. But let me help you out. Psalm 23. The Lord is my, that's singular. Singular pronoun. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. That's singular. This 137th psalm is communal. It's a psalm of community and unity. Notice, if you will, the plural pronouns in the psalm of we and us. Verse 1 says, we sat down. We wept. We remembered Zion. We hung our harps. Verse 3 says, us away, us a song. So you see us. The beauty of the word community is inside of the word community is the word unity. What am I trying to say? We need to stand together. United we stand, and we'll continue to stand on Christ, the solid rock. We'll stand, because all of the ground is sinking sand. What am I trying to say? We need each other. We need to pray together. We need to stay together. We need to worship our God together, and we'll be all right. Amen. Amen. The second thing that the text is tailored to teach us in verse 2, don't stop praising our God. Don't quit on our God. Don't give up on God when you're in a strange land. Maya Angelou has a poem. The poem is titled Caged Bird. But most of us who've never read the heading, we say, I know why a caged bird sings. Amen? In the poem, Maya Angelou states there are two birds. One is trapped in a cage, and the other is free and flying in the sky. The trapped bird represents the African-American man or woman, while the free bird represents a white man or woman. In the poem, Maya Angelou is explaining the feeling of racial discrimination, segregation, and domination. The poem describes how she was the bird that was trapped and tied up and unable to reach freedom. The caged bird can be interpreted as the black race being held back from freedom by their skin color. In the poem, it is constantly repeated that his wings are clipped and his feet is tied, so he opens his throat to sing. This implies that even though the bird is trapped in a strange land, it still has hope. The bird continues to persevere and not give up. It sings about the hope of the things to come. My brother and my sister, even if a caged bird understands that it's important not to lose your song. David said in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue be in my mouth. So whether you are up or down, our God is worthy to be praised. Whether you're rich or poor, whether you live on the main line or the projects, our God is worthy to be praised. Whether you drive a Mercedes or a Hoopty, our God is worthy to be praised. Whether you're in the promised land or in a strange land, our God is worthy to be praised. I'm almost done. Y'all work with me this morning. I'm almost done. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? The answer to that question is real simple. Just sing. Just sing. Just sing. We can sing because our forefathers, they sang during the time of slavery when they were brought here from Africa to a strange land. They sang in spite of what was going on. And today we continue to sing. Dr. Wendell Mapson, in his book titled The Music in the black church says that African Americans didn't lose their song in slavery, that the singing of the Negro spirituals was our survival. In other words, the singing was our power. You see, singing has a mysterious power that frees the human spirit so that God can penetrate us. Don't lose your song. W.E.B. Du Bois says in his book, The Soul of Black People, he says that music and song in the African and America, it was able to lift us closer to God and closer to one another. So don't lose your song in a strange land. Du Bois goes on to say that singing provided a divine channel in which God can speak and we can respond. I'm ready to close now. Don't lose your song. They raised the question, how can we sing the Lord's song? They should have said, why should we sing the Lord's song? The good news is there's power in our song. Something starts to happen when we begin to sing to God the songs of Zion. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. Just as Paul and Silas, when they were trapped in the jail around midnight, they began to sing those old songs of Zion. They began to sing, and something happened when they sang. Just as King Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles 20, on his way to the battle, and they began to sing. Something happened as they began to sing. They began to realize that the battle was not there, but the battle is the Lord's. I stopped by today to tell Redeemer, don't lose your song. Redeemer, sing, sing, sing. Sing, sing till obstacles become opportunities. Sing till stumbling blocks become stepping stones. Sing till burdens become blessings. Sing till you hear from heaven. Sing till you can't sing no more. Sing, sing, don't lose your song. When you don't know what to sing, sing, precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stay. When you don't have enough money, sing the Lord, he'll make a way, he'll make a way. When you feel like your friends forsake you, sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins to grief to bear. When you begin to doubt, sing, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Sing, 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 sing. Don't lose your song. God is an awesome God, an awesome God. And since we all family, I don't mind being transparent. God put that sermon in my heart, in my spirit, before we even got the news. And it was amazing how God began to minister to me not to lose my song. And as things transpired, he just kept saying, don't lose your song. And it was just amazing how he gave me an opportunity just to share with you what God shared with me. And I just want to tell you, we're going to be all right. Don't lose. Don't lose. Don't lose your song. I don't care what it feel like. I don't care what it seem like. Yeah, it's a strange land. And the Bible will let you in on this. This song, for years, many have thought that these people didn't sing. Really, many have taken the position, why didn't they sing? Well, if you know, the book of Psalms is a book of hymns. So if this psalm made it in to the book of hymns, that meant they sang their song in a strange land. Amen, amen. If the deacons would come, we get ready to this is the most important part of the service. It really is. This is the part where we're all praying that God's word has penetrated somebody's heart. And we pray that when they feel that tug on their heart, we know it's a struggle to come down. You're giving the preacher your hand, but you're giving God your heart. And the reason that Jesus died is so that we could have that gift of eternal life. And the Bible says, I wish that all would be saved. So at this time, we are opening the doors of the church for anyone that wants to make a connection with the Jesus that gives us a song.
I sing because I'm free. Oh, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Oh, I sing because.